Good morning. My name is John, and I am blessed to serve as a pastor here. I want to thank you for being here today, as Shelley has already welcomed you, and I want to thank you for being here. And I don't always wear a t-shirt to preach in, but typically on the first Sunday of the month, all those involved, or many of those involved in our regeneration ministry, wear their shirt. And so if you're interested in regeneration ministry, ask anyone that has a shirt on, and they're going to kick back off this fall. And so you can click online, you can find out information about it. There's videos that kind of explain that. But also, maybe you're not aware, on Wednesday nights, normally we have our regen that meets 6:30 to 8, and then we also have Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30. Typically, on a Wednesday night, I go over and dig in a little deeper to where we were on Sunday morning, and we kind of have Bible study, some question answer time. So we would love for you to join us. And during the summer, we will begin at 6:30 as normal, but we'll begin in FC 104 instead of meeting in here. Those of you in the Wednesday night Bible study will meet right in the classroom in FC 104 at 6:30. If you don't know where that is, show up on Wednesday night, and we'll tell you where it is. All right, find your way to Psalms, Psalm chapter 11. We are in our new series, kind of as going back from last summer. We last summer had this summer playlist. We looked at Psalm 1 through Psalm 10. This summer, Lord willing, we'll be looking at Psalm 11 through Psalm 21. And in 13 years, at this rate, we'll be done, all right? So 13 more summers to go. God is good, and all the time. I love starting the service with that, and as I have mentioned many times, it really reminds me of Kenya, Africa, and it's where I really resonated with me the first time of seeing what people lived in and how they lived and how little they had, and they showed up to church, and they said, God is good all the time, and they meant it, and it wasn't based on their circumstances. It was just the reality that God is good. And we're going to be going this Wednesday. We have a group of 15 that are leaving for Kenya, Africa. So pray for us. And at the close of the service, we'll have a time of prayer for those of us who that are going. But in the book of Psalms, so we understand that most of the Psalms are songs, all right? They're poems, or they're written with the emotion of a song. And in fact, the word psalm says that the Greek word means a song sung to the accompaniment of a musical instrument. And so this is why we have the word, the theme, summer playlist. Now, how many of you have a playlist based on maybe an activity you're doing or emotion you're feeling? Anybody have, right? They got your In Your Feels playlist. Anybody got that? How about, like, I'm about to work out, I get hyped playlist. Anybody got one of those? And how many of you have the playlist, you maybe didn't name it this way, but My Spouse Just Made Me Angry playlist? Anybody? All right, you guys are smart enough to not raise your hand on that one. But the book of Psalms really evokes, just like a song does, music evokes emotion, right? Depending on the beat or the tempo, just the different understanding of music that is beyond my understanding, but it brings out emotions in us. And what I love about the Psalms is that the emotions are raw and they're real, and it's like written from a personal, like a real person, and a real person who is sharing their real emotion and maybe even their doubts and their fears and their struggles. And too often in the church world, we often live in behind a mask, don't we? We live in a world where we have to pretend like everything's okay. And I want you to know, Hallmark, what we have figured out is that we don't have it all figured out. And that's really what Regen program reminds us, is that we all have hurts and habits and hangups, and a church should be a safe place to say, yeah, you know, today, this week, this month, this year has been pretty bad. And it's okay to say and come to church and say, let me say it quietly, I think I'm mad at God right now. Because I've been asking God to do something. it seems like he's not listening. You may today be in a moment of, in a season, in a time of crisis, right? That you're struggling. Maybe that's financially, maybe that's in your marriage, maybe that's with your kids, maybe that's with your job, maybe that's with your health. And I think too many times we come into church and think we have to just, everything's great. And the book of Psalms is real, it's transparent, it's the emotion of what the authors are speaking, thinking, feeling, and how they're wrestling with God in those situations. And it reminds me, this year, we started off the year on our theme verse. Hopefully you have your phone alarm. If you haven't done it yet, you can do it right now. Get your phone out and set your alarm for 3:56, all right? 3:56. If you haven't done it, set your alarm for 3:56. And the reason we have set it for 3:56, this is our theme verse this year. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, or he will make your paths straight. And so this psalm, the next few psalms actually are going to focus on that word, trust. Am I going to trust God no matter what? Am I going to trust God in that, as we used the word already, that moment of crisis? We ask these three questions all year. So I want you to respond if you're willing to, right? The first question we ask this year is, do you believe God is good? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. The second question, do you believe that God is in control? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, now, this third question, you don't have to yell out loud. It's more of a, let's ponder for a moment. This is the moment of faith. And if you're like me, sometimes you pass the test and sometimes you don't. Some days I'm full of faith and some days I'm full of fear. The third question is simply, will you trust God? Will you trust him until he proves it? In the moment of fear, will I choose faith? Let's get into our psalm. Psalm chapter 11, we're not really sure about the circumstances of David's writing the psalm. It's very evident that he's in a moment of crisis. It's most scholars believe that it was probably written during the period of he was fleeing from Saul, right? So David had been anointed as the new king of Israel, but it was not yet time for him to become the new king of Israel. And so he's been running because Saul, the current king of Israel, doesn't like David. He's jealous, and he understands that he's the new anointed king. And so maybe 7 years is a kind of some unclear exactly the time frame, but let's just use the word, the time frame of about 7 years, David has been anointed king and he's running from Saul. 7 years of waiting, 7 years of crisis, 7 years of fear, 7 years of God, you told me this was going to happen and it hasn't happened. So when you think of it, the context, this is the emotion that David is feeling. And I want you to understand the first statement. So he declares something very first thing in verse number one. In the Lord. Remember, if you were here for our Names of God series, and we're just saying a bunch of the names of God that we went through the series on. And remember in your Bible, when you see this word, Lord, and it's all caps written in your Bible, what is that word referencing? What is the word given to God and Lord? Anybody remember? You're not confident, all right? 1, 2, 3, say it. Yahweh, right? We just sang Yahweh. Interchangeable word of Yahweh is Jehovah. It's when Exodus chapter 3, when God came to Moses, said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he's like, who am I going to tell that they're supposed to let him go? Tell them I am that has sent you, Yahweh. So David is saying, in Yahweh, I put my trust. Some English translations would say, in Yahweh, I take refuge. The Lord is my refuge. So he makes this declarative statement, and then he goes on, how can you say to my soul? And so now he's saying to his friends, to his counselors, to those who are giving advice, he's, how, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain, For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in the heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he rains coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance beholds the upright. And I think there's two types of people in the room this morning, right? So when you're faced with a moment of fear, all right, you're either gonna fight or, what is the other word? Fight or flight, all right? How many of you are fight? All right, how many of you are flight? I'm getting out of here. So I thought, based on this fight or flight, you know, because I'm an experienced outdoorsman, I thought I would give you some survival tips, all right? Are you guys ready to learn today? All right, so we're gonna ask you a few questions. First one is this: if you see a bear, how should you respond? Run, fight, play dead. All right, who says run? All right, who says fight? Who says play dead? Okay, it's actually a trick question, because it depends on what kind of bear. I think somebody said that over here. I heard somebody. Somebody's smart over here. All right, so if it's a brown bear, you gotta play dead. Got it, Carlos? Are you ready? All right. If it's a brown bear, play dead. If it's a black bear, run. If you can't run fast enough, then turn around and fight. All right? So here's some great information, just in case you're wondering. If you run across a bear, the first thing it says you should do, identify yourself. Hey, bear. It says wave your hands. Hi, I'm John. Pastor John. Saint John, some call me. And it says do it calmly so that they'll know you're a human. And I think, for me, I got to identify myself. But if you're like me, I don't know if this bear is a black bear or a brown bear. So I'm going to ask it, could you identify yourself? I need to know whether to run or play dead, right? All right, you guys are learning so much. The second one, what should you do in a lightning storm while hiking? Find a cave, climb a tree, get as small as you can. Find a cave, anybody? Climb a tree? Oh, you're smarter than that. Get as small as you can, all right? So the reason, man, you can't see that up there, but this, I think this picture was taken. I don't know if you can see it very well, but you see the three lightning bolts at the top? So the far one on the left. Then if you go to the two in the middle, there, you see they're splitting that mountain? Can you see it? You can see it better on this side, actually. So I believe this picture was taken September 23rd, 2020. Excuse me, September 21, 2023. And so when those two lightning strikes hit that mountain, guess where I was? Right there on that mountain. Okay, I'm not 100% sure the picture was taken that day. I know that this picture is associated with a news article about that day when we were hiking. Okay, so I'm so experienced. I'm glad to teach you this morning. On top of that mountain, guess what's up there? A cave. And how many of you said, go to the cave? Okay, terrible idea. People have died in that cave from lightning, and people that day were struck by lightning. They said it's the worst place to be. All right, sorry to call you guys out. Climb a tree, well, that's a terrible idea. Also, yeah, get as small as you can. Like sucking your gut, I guess, I don't know. No, they actually say, like, you're supposed to be, like, crouch like this, on your toes even, like this, as small as you can. And the good thing is that if you're with someone taller, just get smaller than them. Chances are the lightning will strike them. That's why I've invited Steve to go with me on my next hike, so. All right, we got to move on. When you're driving in a tornado, okay, as a kid, we grew up in Kansas. We would go realize there were tornadoes in the area. My dad was a brilliant man most of the time, but we would drive around looking for tornadoes, all right? Number one, should you park under an underpass? Drive your car into the ditch? Park your car and then go lie in the ditch? One, two, or three?
Three.
You guys are good. Three, all right? Number four, if you're attacked by a shark, what should you do? Gently direct it by placing your hand on its snout, cut your friend and swim away. All right, whoever you're sitting by, you know whether you can trust them right now, okay? Or punch the shark in the eyes. I mean, I would say do all three. No, so number one is the first thing you should do, and then number three, all right? Like, is anyone really gonna like, oh, hey, shark, go this way? Dumb. All right, if attacked by a lion, what should you do? Don't run, stay calm, which they all say that. That's just dumb. Play dead. Or number three, get into your hut and leave your husband to fight. Who says three? All right. I have seen number three in action, actually, a few years ago in Kenya. Violetta pushed William out of the way, ran into the hut and shut it. And William's left to get a great picture of a lion trying to get through the fence. All right. The truth is, in all these situations, is you want to find refuge, right? Find a place of refuge. That's what David is saying here. Again, about half of the translations, English translations, instead of saying, in the Lord I put my trust, it's in the Lord I take refuge. My trust is in the Lord, his refuge. So as we think about the circumstances David is facing, there's a crisis. There's fear. His life is on the line. David says, in Yahweh, I'll take my refuge. In Yahweh, I will trust. So the question I want to ask and answer this morning is this. What do you do when life is falling apart? What do you do? What can we learn from the lesson David teaches? Trust the Lord is the simple answer. Trust the Lord. So we've been talking about all year. But we're going to trust in the Lord in three areas, for three things that we look in this text. The first one is this. We're going to trust the Lord for protection. Right? When we're faced with a crisis, you have two options, right? Fight or flight. Spiritually speaking, we can flee in doubt, or we can stand in faith. 2 weeks ago on our last sermon in the series In Him, we were talking through Ephesians, and Ephesians 6 says, stand firm in your faith, right? Put on the armor of God. Chapter 6, verse 18 says that I'm going to pray about all things with all people at any time. Like, I'm going to put on the armor of God so that I can stand firm. And so in this idea of David saying, the Lord, I put my trust. Listen to this statement. David has taken his refuge. He is taking his refuge. And he will always take his refuge in the Lord. So again, David has made the declarative statement in verse number one. In the Lord, I put my trust. In the Lord, I take my refuge. And then he asks questions of his friends. You ever have friends that are good friends that give you bad advice? Yeah. Anybody have good friends that give you good advice, hopefully? But listen to what the advice of his friends are. So David says, how do you say to my soul, verse 1, flee as a bird to the mountain, fight or flight. It's flight. I'm getting out of here. For look, verse 2, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, and that they may shoot secretly at the upright. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Like all hope is lost. What are you going to do, David? The world is falling apart. The culture has gone crazy. Does it sound a little bit like the world we're living in today? What did the scripture say? What was called good is now called evil, and what was called evil was now called good. In the last days, it says that things will get worse and worse. And so when we face the situation of culture seems to have gone crazy, David, the advice of David's friends was, well, flee to the mountains. But David has already made a statement, no, I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm going to take refuge in the Lord. I read this statement this week from Charles Spurgeon. I think it's fitting for our culture today. There is tolerance for everybody who conforms to the fashion of the day, but no tolerance for anyone who believes that the laws of heaven should regulate life on earth. What that speaks into is why we at Hallmark say one of our core values is we want to be biblically driven. Culture will not dictate to us how we should live. The Bible will dictate to us how we should live. And so David is saying, listen, I know it's crazy out there, and God has anointed me king, and Saul is trying to kill me over and over again, and the advice he gets is run for the hills, and David says, no, I'm going to stand firm in the promises and in the character of God. So I'm going to trust God for my protection, as we just sang about, Jehovah Nissi. Pastor Nathan taught several months ago from Exodus chapter 17, and remember, Moses was on the mountain, and if he held his hands high, God would win the battle, and when he got tired and his arms fell down, they begin to lose the battle. And so it's Aaron and Hur come and they raise his hands up and God gives them the victory. And what did Moses call the place? The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. God will fight for me. Aren't you thankful that God fights for us? And I love this comparison. So here in the middle of the storm, David says, I'm going to trust the Lord that he's my refuge. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is years later. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Remember, Psalm 11, he's in the middle of it. The battle's raging and his friends are telling him to run for the hills. And he says, no, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand in the trust and the refuge of God. And here, years later, when God has finally won the battle, the day it says that he was delivered from the hand of Saul, verse 2, and he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. What a great psalm, song of worship and praise. I trusted him in the crisis when life was falling apart. And when God showed up, I worshiped and I praised and I gave him glory because he proved to be the refuge who is trustworthy. What do you do when life is falling apart? Trust in the Lord's protection. Number two, trust in God's providence. We give you this definition of providence several months ago, and I'll remind you of it. What is the providence of God? God takes natural events and he enacts supernatural results. Simply to it references the second question we asked today. The first question, what is God good? Yes. Do I believe God is in control? Yes. That's the sovereignty and the providence of God, that God is working out all things for my good and his glory, Romans 8:28. Now in verse number 4, look at this. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Remember, the world is crazy. His life is a mess. He's fearful. Everything is chaotic. It's not what God had promised, right? It's not what he was expecting. And I think some of us, probably even this morning, could identify with that. Maybe we don't have the same circumstances, but maybe this morning you walk in and your life this week has just been a mess. It's been crazy. It's been chaotic. It's been you fill in the blanks, right? God, where are you? God, why haven't you answered my prayer? And then David says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. It reminds me a few months ago, again, when we were going through the Names of God series. Remember Hagar was in a mess. She tried to flee from her mess. God showed up. And remember what she said? You are El Roi, the God who sees, Genesis 16, verse 13. And in the midst of the hurt or the trial or the chaos or the mess, the doubt, the fear, what David is saying, listen, I'm trusting in the God I believe in, that he's in his temple. And I think when we think about he is in his temple, again, I think it speaks to the nearness of God, the proximity of God, the availability of God. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross and the temple veil tore in two, it granted us, you and I, followers of Jesus, direct access to God that we can have help in our time of need. It speaks to the fact that God is still in control. Then it goes on, the Lord's throne is in heaven. I think these two words, these two ideas we could sum up in two words. The temple remaining proximity. Throne in heaven, referencing his providence. God is near. Listen to these verses of scripture. He is near to the brokenhearted, Psalm 34. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you, James 4:8. He is an ever-present help in time of need, Psalm 46:1. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. His mercies are new every morning, Lamentations 3. His grace is sufficient, 2 Corinthians 12. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of our need, Hebrews chapter 4. John 1:14 says, God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we think of this word temple. Before the temple was the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. It was a way for God to dwell amongst his people. The temple was a tent. The tabernacle was a tent that represented the dwelling place of God. And later, after King David came on the scene, they built the temple of God, which was the permanent tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. And as followers of Jesus today, we understand that when we give our life to Christ, we now become the tabernacle / the temple, the dwelling place of God. It speaks to the proximity that in my fear, in my doubt, in my struggle, in my crisis, as a follower of Jesus, the Lord is in his temple. As a follower of Jesus, I'm never alone. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Trust. So I don't have a lot of time to unpack this, but I want you to circle this word. Verse number 2. Remember what his friends are saying. Look. And then they begin to describe the circumstances. Look at the circumstances. But then in verse number 4, what David is saying is, listen, his eyes look at me. Here's what I want you to get out of this, to realize that what you look at determines your direction. Right? Just physically thinking. What you look at will determine your direction. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, what the friends were saying is, look at all the problems you got. Run. And David says, I'm going to look to the Lord. And if we'll get our eyes off our circumstances and place them on the character and the goodness of God, then, like David, we can say, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to take refuge in him. Even in the middle of the storm, I'm going to trust his protection. I'm going to trust his providence. I'm going to trust his provision. Verse number 7. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. This reminds me of our last series, Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Remember Ephesians 1 through 3 talk about who we are in Christ. And then in chapter 4, he says, because of who you are in Christ, walk worthy. Like there's this, as a Christian, there's a goal out there. Romans 8, 29 says we're to be conformed in the image of Christ. So God is righteous and God loves righteousness. And he wants us to walk in righteousness. Now we just sang a great theological statement. We just sang it. It says, I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So thank God, when I gave my life to Christ at the age of 17, at that moment, I was declared right before God, and I was clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at me and all my faults and my hurts and my hangups and my habits, God doesn't see my faults. God sees the righteousness of Jesus on me. Can you say amen to that? And with that comes an understanding that I'm going to walk in righteousness. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. What a thought that God sees me. There is some debate on the last part of this. So on the screen here, his countenance beholds the upright. Some of the English translations translate it this way. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright will see his face. So it's inverted those things. It's, do I see God or does God see me? And the truth is, the answer is yes. They're both true. God sees me and I can see him. It's amazing to me when I'm walking in fellowship with God, walking towards righteousness, I can see God in a lot of things. I can hear God in the birds in the morning when I'm doing my devotion on the back porch. Even when life is a little crazy. But what does this mean that his countenance beholds the upright? This idea of the countenance, God's seen and the countenance of God in us and how those interact with each other in Scripture. Let me read what it depicts. Seeing God's countenance is equivalent to experiencing God's favor or blessing. It's the opposite of God hiding his face. Listen to this, a related image. When we think about God's seeing our countenance and we seeing the countenance of God, it's a representation of the blessing and the favor of God. Another way that it's been used in the Old Testament was phrased like this. It's God's face shining upon us. The favor of God. And when I choose to trust in his protection, his providence, and his provision, it's as if his face shines upon me. And when I see God for who he is, and I live in the reality that God sees me, it sure gives a different perspective on my problems. And when I live out what I see in Scripture and I trust God, then God gives me the strength to say, I'll trust the Lord. The Lord is my refuge. I think because of we're about to go to Kenya again, as I read this commentary describing the countenance, it's as if used in Scripture that God's face would shine upon me. Immediately my mind went back to a memory in last June. And this verse, let me share this verse of Scripture, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 25. Numbers 6, 22, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. Speak to the nation of Israel. This is a blessing God has given to Moses to speak over the nation of Israel. It's the same blessing God would give us if we would simply trust. And he says this, speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, so here's the blessing of God on the nation of Israel. I would say the blessing of God on followers of Jesus who choose to trust him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. When we live like David did, trusting in the protection and the provision and the providence of God, his face will shine upon us. And one of the key components of the face of God shining upon us is peace. You hear it? Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Last June, I was in Kenya, and this girl, Irene, who I've known for a couple years, met her a few times. She became good friends with my daughter, who did an internship over in Kenya a few years ago. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor John, I got a song I want to sing for you. It's like, awesome. And I want you to listen to just a short clip of this little girl, Irene, singing to me. Listen, if you want the peace of God in your life, in the midst of the storm, like David, you got to trust. Trust in his protection, his provision, and his providence. Maybe this morning you are struggling like David. Maybe you're in the midst of the storm, right? The chaos, the craziness. And if that's you this morning, I would love to just pray over you. Would you just stand where you're at if you would like me to pray over you? We don't have to know the circumstances, but you could just say, Lord, and it's been a struggle. Anyone else, just stand where you're at. I would say those of you that are seated looking around, while I pray, would you also pray for them? Just ask that God would give them the strength. In fact, what I want to do is I want to read Ephesians. I knew I was going to cry when I heard Irene sing. I think that a few weeks ago, we looked at this passage briefly in Ephesians 3. And Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus that was struggling. Would you bow your heads and your eyes closed? And if you're seated around them and you want to put your hand towards them as a prayer of blessing over them, and you pray for them. Let me read the words of Paul. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever. God, this morning we ask you. You know the hurts, you know the struggles, you know the fear, the doubt, whatever the reason each person is standing. Lord, I'm convinced that there's people seated that probably should be standing. And you know they're hurt too. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Nisi, who fights our battles. You are El Rohi, the God who sees. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are El Rapha, the God who heals. So Lord, whatever the struggle is, you know it. God, I pray in your providence, in your grace, and in your mercy, you would work, that you would bring healing, that you would bring provision, and that you would bring protection. And Lord, you would bring peace of God, which passes all understanding. It is in the powerful, in the precious name of God that we pray.